Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I've thought of a way to make this very simple so you will understand. Would you please give me a spotlight? Do you get what I'm saying now? This is not about you. This is about me being in the spotlight where I deserve to be.
Hello. Welcome, everyone, to the spotlight. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, with the great Steven Jensen. Jensen, how you doing on this beautiful Thursday? I assume it's beautiful.
I'm doing great. Yeah, it looks like the weather's pretty good. I'm just kind of getting my day going and then rolling right into the shoot job, and then got some stuff right after work. And then I'm actually joining Romeo over on the True Heel Heat, like their sports channel tonight. I think Rob Wilkins is going to be there as well. So join us tonight. We're going to be talking NFC North football. Me and Rob are both big Vikings fans, so tonight should be fun. Got a long day today of work and podcasting, and there's also Battle Slam tonight on Fight. They're debuting that if you all want to watch that later tonight. So a lot of good stuff going on today, man. How about you?
I'm good as always. I've been up since about 6:30. My days are going to start a lot earlier. I watched Okada and Ospreay, the G1 final this morning. I caught up on some wrestling that we're going to talk about here today. So I've been working, Jensen. Been working for the past 3 hours. I'd be working all day. That's what I do. Hold it down. I'm the owner of Fightful. Did you know this?
I saw
this fucking place?
I found that out on Twitter the other day, actually. Yeah. So that was congratulations, man.
Thank you. You did it. I mean, it's on Twitter, funny. So it must be true. I've never seen a CM Punk match in my life, but I own Fightful.
Yeah, what was that all over anyway? Someone was like complaining about something, like, and they were like, "Well, Jeremy, the owner of Fightful, said this."
That Lambert guy, get it right. He didn't know my first name. Just that Lambert guy. Could be any of us Lamberts. There's a lot of us out there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's hilarious.
So I'm the owner. I've fired Joel Pearl already. Mm. Jensen, I'll make sure you're well compensated for everything. I got you an impact bonus
for
showing our feet on the air. That was a
yeah. You and Sean both did. I attempted to, but like with the way my room's set up, it's hard to see because of the where my camera is here. But like my desk comes out like towards me, and this wall isn't as far away as it looks. So like I legitimately can't even. Like I don't think I could like even get my feet on here. But here's the thing, like I said on that show, if y'all want to throw me some money and you want to see my feet, you go ahead and do that. My tip drawer is open on Twitter, so send me a tip on Twitter and say feet. I'll send you. There you go.
Just put feet in Steven Jensen's tip jar. Leave us some super chats, some humper chats. You can put feet on there. We get enough super chats, Steven Jensen will show his feet. I'll show my feet again, although I gave them away for free. So that was poor business by my part. I have no idea how I'm making money on Fightful with my poor business plans, but apparently we're doing well It seems like we got a lot of subscribers on Fightful Select, all thanks to my hard work that I have nothing to do with on Fightful Select. There we go, Kai. Kai sending $2, just said feet.
Just says feet.
Yeah, send some money, everybody. Yeah, we see Steven Jensen's feet. See how they rate you on Wikifeet.
Oh, God. All right, yeah, I'll show you my feet, Kai. I got you.
Oh, my God.
Send me a message on Twitter. This is going to have to be like a if I just do it right here, I'm trying to give you a sneak peek.
Oh no. Hannah has outbid. Your
feet. Oh,
Hannah has outbid.
I was real close. I was about to try to like maneuver my way into like getting this onto my camera, but Hannah, thank you.
Bidding more. We got $2 to show the feet. $4.99 not to show the feet. Do we have $6 to show the feet? $6 to show the feet. Come on now, $6 to show the feet.
There you go.
A lot of wrestling to talk about.
Yeah, we have real things to talk about.
Speaking of feet, look at this transition. A man who had a broken foot, and he's back, and this is what we're going to lead off our spotlight with.
Over a million fans and a great number in the demo tuned in. And it was a great show, and I think it's been a run of great shows.
We're going to lead off with CM Punk and Jon Moxley. The big promo segment that they had last night. So CM Punk kicks off the show after returning last week, and he starts by burying Hangman Page, which I didn't see coming. According to Wrestling Observer Alvarez and Meltzer, this was not planned. No one knew about this. I don't know who no one is. I assume that's everybody. That means Tony Khan, Hangman Page didn't know. He said, Hangman, you know, if you want your rematch, come on out here. Sat in the ring. Hangman didn't come out. I don't know if Hangman was there last night or not. He didn't wrestle a match. He didn't have a segment. So I'm going to assume he wasn't there. And then he said, that's coward shit. And he moved on and dressed Jon Moxley. And he cooked Jon Moxley on the microphone. I thought, he said, you're the third best person in your group, which is a theme for you. You're the second best John I'll beat in Chicago. He even took shots at Eddie Kingston. And Eddie Kingston got on Twitter. And this is his words, not mine. Called him a cunt. anyway, he said, you know, you're the third best Eddie I've wrestled, the second best Kingston. And CM Punk, he was cooking. He was being dick CM Punk on the mic. Cuntish CM Punk on the mic. And then Jon Moxley came out, and they had a big confrontation. Moxley said some things like, you're only back because of because you need some money. And he said, the titles don't mean shit. We're just going to beat you. That's what it means for. And then they brawled for a bit. And then the next segment, after the Danielson-Garcia match, Tony Nese comes out and Moxley just beats the shit out of him. And they brawl again. And then we thought it was going to be all out. They said all out during the promo segment. But then at the end of the show, they said, next week, I'm going to be there, Steven Jensen. Next week, CM Punk against Jon Moxley to unify the titles. What'd you make of this segment, the promos, the match happening next week, just everything that happened between Moxley and CM Punk last night?
Dude, I loved it. I loved all of it. I love that we're getting this match next week on free TV. I'm kind of guessing that they're going to do some sort of draw or something. Like, I feel like this is still going to be the match at All Out. I could be wrong, though, but I think it's badass that we're getting it for free on TV next week. Regardless of the outcome. And then I thought the promo, the back and forth last night was awesome. I loved the whole Tony Nese thing too, because like the show was like white hot up to that point. And then it was like Tony Nese came out and listen, I'm a Tony Nese fan. People who listen to The Weeknd or know, I cover 205 Live every week before it became NXT Level Up. And so I saw like a lot of Tony Nese and Ari Daivari and some of these guys that I feel like you've gotten slept on over the last handful of years. And I really like Smart Mark Sterling a lot. So I'm one of those guys where I'm like, okay, cool. Tony Nese is coming out. This is probably going to be a good match, but it was a little strange because it was like the opening of the show with Punk and Punk and Mox. And then you had like the Danielson Garcia thing. And like Hobbs may have even cut a promo already at that point. And like, it was like, all right, this show is like, we're rolling right now. And then his niece came out. I was like, I wonder what this is going to be. And then I was like, oh, okay. Like, this actually makes a lot of sense. Like, Moss is coming back out, and they're continuing to brawl. So I thought it was great. I thought Punk on the microphone, like, that that was awesome. All the stuff that he said, the Hangman thing was strange, but right when he said it, I was like, okay, he's leaning more and more into being a heel. Like right when he called out Hangman, I was like, I wonder where this promo is going. And then it got more and more heelish. Like he's calling out people that the fans like. And then when him and Moxley went face to face, because I thought Moxley, here's the difference. CM Punk, I think, had a better, CM Punk's promo and his actual roast were better. Like if it was just like up to, you know, what was said on paper. But when Moxley speaks and the way that he speaks, he comes off as like way more like believable and authentic, if that makes sense. CM Punk, Punk knows how to like, he knows how to like make people tick, and he knows he can say certain things to get certain reactions, and he's super over. So he knows what he's doing. But like when Moxley comes out there, he starts saying what he's saying. You start thinking like, okay, I know these guys are both professionals, but when Mox, like, and by the way, Effie is the gateway drug, as Effie said last night on Twitter. I don't think it's a coincidence that Effie and Mox kissed on GCW, and then Mox, you know, took some of that momentum to kiss CM Punk on Dynamite. But like when Moxley's speaking, in the way that he acts, and like, it's just one of those things where it's just a different vibe. It's like the guy who like is really good with words that knows what the people want to hear or don't want to hear versus a guy who's just like, stop messing with me. Like, I'm not the guy to be messed with. Like you want this title. I don't even care about this title. I don't care about your title either. Like, let's go head to head. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to show you I'm better than you. And honestly, if it came down to it, like, I know this is a completely off topic thing. If this came down to like a real fight, I know CM Punk has UFC experience, but like, I think Jon Moxley would wash him. So it's interesting for me to see when they start throwing these like work shoots type punches at each other and they're getting each other's faces. I'm like, people probably think, well, CM Punk was in the UFC. Jon Moxley doesn't want to do that. Yeah, I don't really quite understand.
Moxley trains MMA. I don't know how good he would be, but he does train like some MMA.
To be fair, there were like fighters like Cole Miller back in the day and stuff that were vouching for CM Punk, saying he was training, and then we saw what that actually looked like. I'm not saying Moxley would be necessarily any better. I have no idea, because we never. Here's the thing: CM Punk had the balls to go and do it. Like, I have massive, I'll never take any respect away from CM Punk for having the balls to fight in the UFC octagon, especially knowing the level he was at going into it. Because everyone knew, like, there were people in his gym beating him up that aren't even in the UFC, you know, and it was like, this is not going to go well. Moxley hasn't tested himself like that, so I got to give Punk a lot of credit for that. But from the little bit that I do know, I know he spent a lot of time at Extreme Couture, and a lot of really good fighters have vouched for him, and they've said, like, yeah, is he like a UFC level guy? No, he isn't. But like, he's very competent in what he does, and he improves, and he takes it very seriously. So it's just, and this is off topic, and it doesn't matter at the end of the day anyway, because like, it's pro wrestling, and this, it doesn't matter. But I just thought that's another layer to it that I think is interesting. Is like, you have this guy who's fought in UFC, you know, very unsuccessfully, but has attempted it in CM Punk. And then Jon Moxley, a guy who's like really, really interested in that culture, and a guy who trains, and a guy who's a part of this Blackpool Combat Club. That's kind of like, oh, it's like a work shoot type group. So that's the reason that my mind goes to that. It's just like, both these guys are very, very into the world of like actual combat sports. So I could see this going a lot of different ways. Like, I don't think we're going to just get CM Punk and Jon Moxley one time. You know what I mean? I think we're going to get maybe a series of matches that includes maybe even something kind of like a cage match or something that's a little more MMA based at some point too. I think there's a lot of, the reason I brought any of this up is because I think they have potential to have like a really great wrestling match, a really great brawl, a really great like stipulation match. Like, I think we're going to get more than just one Moxley and Punk match.
I don't need to see them try to do some work shoot MMA fight. That's for sure. Even though Moxley's very good at it, like, his blood sport stuff is very good. I don't,
it's really
like
good.
CM Punk has actually fought in the UFC, as you mentioned. I don't know if like he'd actually do well in some type of weird work shoot style fight. Just give me CM Punk, the wrestler. That's all I need. And to the point of, you know, it has nothing to do with anything, but like a shoot fight between these two. I think people think Moxley would win is because like, he just seems like a guy who's just going to go out there and like street fight. CM Punk ain't going to be, he's not a technical striker. Like we didn't really see much of his striking in the UFC, but the little that we did, it wasn't very good. He's not going to, you know, try to pick John Moxley apart on the feet or anything, but it'll probably be a, it would probably be a very sloppy, ugly looking fight between two guys who they, their experience level would show. And you just kind of think Moxley would win because he just try to like scrap with him. And there's probably not going to be a high level jujitsu battle going on between CM Punk and John Moxley. I think John Moxley would probably batter him, honestly, but who knows? As far as, so the one thing I'll get a criticism out of the way. I didn't like John Moxley just being like, this title doesn't mean shit. Your title doesn't mean shit. Like the whole point of this is they're fighting to unify these titles, and AEW has always like propped up their titles. It's like, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. So I didn't quite like that from Moxley. The way they just like tossed them around. It's like, yeah, fuck these titles. Like who cares? Usually AEW does a better job of, you know, treating their titles with some prestige. So I didn't like that from Moxley. I understand that it got very heated and it's more a personal thing than just, hey, these titles, but Moxley can't tell me like the week before I'm the interim champion, but like I'm the real champion because I'm out here defending it every week, and then be like, yeah, this title doesn't mean shit. I just want to beat your ass. I didn't like that. So that's my criticism of the segment. Everything else though, I love the attack on Tony Nese, because so many times in AEW, we see a segment and then it's, okay, next segment. Okay, next segment. And it doesn't feel connected at all. We never go back to whatever happened before. And it's not only like during the show. Sometimes it can be week to week. The Undisputed Elite, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish attack the Young Bucks and turn on them. And we ain't seen Cole, O'Reilly, and Fish on these shows at all since then. Like there's been no promo. I'm sure they showed a video package at some point, but I don't remember it if it happened. Like there was no real follow-up to that. It was just like the fallout with the Young Bucks, but it was never anything with like Cole, O'Reilly, Fish. And I thought that should have been a little bit more highlighted in the weeks afterwards. And so many times just stuff feels disconnected. It's just like next segment, next segment, next segment. So I love that you have this hot opener between Punk and Moxley, and then you have this great match between Garcia and Danielson. Tony Nese comes out and it's like, let's go back to Punk and Moxley. Like let's continue that from the opener. So I love that. It felt like finally there was like storytelling throughout the show with AEW. And I think that's been a criticism of the company. And so the fact that they were able to do that last night with that, what was big, we're getting this match next week. Everyone thought it was going to be the pay-per-view. Again, they referenced it was going to be the pay-per-view. During their promo, and then when they're running down the card, it's next week. I was stunned. I certainly wasn't expecting to go to AEW Dynamite next week and be like, yeah, I'm getting to see Jon Moxley, CM Punk unify the titles. How are you booking this? Like, do you think we get some type of screwy finish to where, all right, this is going to set up a cage match. This is going to set up some type of stipulation match at All Out. Do you think we get a clean winner? And, you know, Hangman Page was referenced. I don't know what Hangman's doing at the pay-per-view. Does he come out? If nobody knew that CM Punk was going to take these shots at Hangman Page, do they now work Hangman into this so they can do that match? People are throwing MJF's name out there that he shows up, and that's the big match at the pay-per-view. Where are you thinking with Punk and Moxley next week?
So if I had to like make a bet, like if I like my the thing that I think is most likely, I think we get Punk and Mox next week as advertised, but they go to like, I don't know what the time limit draw will be for the title match. I don't know if it'll be if it's an hour automatically because it's the world title, or exactly how they do it. But I could see them doing some sort of draw where like neither guy loses, but it isn't like a screwy finish that pisses the fans off. I think the Hangman Page option is a really great option. Maybe you even do Mox, Hangman, and Punk in a triple threat, because we don't get like a lot of those on like AEW pay-per-view for the title. Like we've seen before where like I think we had like Omega, Cassidy, and maybe Pac were like in a triple threat for the title at one point and stuff. But like I wouldn't mind something like that if it made sense. The whole thing, and people in the chat are saying this too, and I agree with like them saying they don't care about their titles. I don't think it's so much about them not caring about the championships themselves. It's that there's two champions here. Neither of these mean anything until there's just one belt, is kind of how I feel is the idea behind what they were going behind. One question I have for you real quick before I forget to ask, do you consider, because also it contradicted a little bit, because like Moxley was like, every time someone calls us the interim championship, it makes me sick. And then he was like, I don't even care about this championship. So that was a little contradictory. But do you consider John Moxley a two-time AEW champion or no? Because the reason I ask is because in the UFC, I know it's different, but like generally the interim champions aren't really considered world champions. When like you look at right. it at the end of the day, like Tony Ferguson was never considered the UFC lightweight champion, even though he was the interim champion and didn't lose for like 12 fights. John Moxley just defended this title like what, like 5-6 times, something like that, in the last like couple, in the last month or two or whatever it's been. Do you consider this like a legitimate AEW world championship reign for John Moxley? Is he a two-time AEW world champion to you?
To me, no, because I don't like interim titles. I understand right. the point of them because you could build towards a unification match. I don't like them in the UFC. I don't like them doing it in AEW. I get it. I totally get it. Cause Tony he's even said this. He thinks of it like the UFC. Of like, you know, they right. do interim titles and they build towards unification matches and it's a big time thing. And I agree with him. Like, I get it. But
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But I don't think it does. I know AEW does, and Kai's mentioning like they count Sammy's TNT interim run as valid. Even Sammy is like weird on that. Is like two-time, three-time, depending on which titles you're counting and everything. I think they do acknowledge that, and so Moxley is a two-time champion. I think, I'm not 100% sure on that. But I personally don't view that as like a real title reign, because it's an interim title. Like, the champion is just not around. You just gave him a title to give him a title because you wanted the title. And to the point of, you know, there's two belts, so it devalues each other. I get that point. I think there's just a better way to just go about it. Just say like both titles mean something, but what would mean more is, you know, I beat you and then it's unified and then there's no doubt as to who the actual champion is, instead of saying, hey, these don't mean shit, and then tossing them aside.
So would you have preferred, just like in hindsight, like if we knew Punk was going to be back this soon, because it wasn't very long that he was gone.
He missed Forbidden Door, but you know, Forbidden Door was something that was new to AEW this year. He technically didn't miss a pay-per-view.
Right. So would you have Would you have preferred if they would have stripped Punk and had Mox like have an act? Would you like have a, like a run with the true championship and then Punk gets the title shot when he gets back? Or would you have preferred that they just don't do an interim title at all and they just basically, and Mox basically just keeps his number one ranking by winning big matches until Punk had come back?
I kind of prefer the latter of just, hey, let's crown a top contender. Moxley goes on and he just goes on this run and he's just calling out Punk every week of like, cause then he can say like, it don't mean shit. This number one contendership don't mean shit until the champion shows up and actually fights me. Cause I want that title. Like that right. would be better to me than the interim title was fine. Like Moxley did great with the run. But then the don't mean shit line actually kind of works a little bit better than he's been carrying around this title and trying to make it seem like it's prestigious. Yeah, I would have just preferred Moxley beat a bunch of people and then just keep calling out CM Punk. I think that would have been my preference. I don't think Moxley's run was obviously great. I loved it. I love the matches, even though there was no doubt that he was like going to win. He was never going to lose this interim title. I still love the matches and I love just Jon Moxley's presence overall. I've said it plenty of times. Like, I think he's the most believable character in wrestling right now. And he just has an aura about him where he shows up on the screen and you are just like hooked by Jon Moxley. So it was a great run. But my preference is to not do interim titles and to find a way around that. If you know how long the guy is going to be out, cause the UFC does this. It's right. Like, hey, you're going to be out for like 3 months. You don't fight for 3 months anyway. We're going to do an interim title just because we want to have a title fight on a pay-per-view. And that's kind of what this felt like. I do wonder if there wasn't Forbidden Door and they didn't feel the need, oh, we need an AEW world title match on this pay-per-view. Do they even go the interim title route? Because again, you're not missing a pay-per-view at that point. Like CM Punk wasn't going to miss a pay-per-view. It was just Forbidden Door was added. And so I think they felt they needed an AEW world title match on that show, especially after sort of announcing Punk and Tanahashi. And so that's why they were like, okay, we need an interim title.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all that makes sense. I agree with all that. I want to say real quick too, one of my favorite parts of the segment last night, and you could tell it was like, it was actually ad-lib because of the reaction in the ring. But like, I love that little part when Moxley, because I agree with you. I think Moxley he comes off as like one of the most authentic, just believable, just badasses in wrestling, not even just in AEW. Like when he shows up on the Indies or GCW, it's just like, he has this whole other aura about him right now. And this confidence and just this love for the game of what he's doing, which is just really cool. But I loved last night when he, to that point, he tells CM Punk, I'm the heart and soul of this company since day one, basically. And Punk's like, cool, I'll be the dollars and cents.
Yeah.
And Mox just didn't have a response. And I was like, oh, I was like, damn, that was actually good. Cause sometimes CM Punk, as much as I love CM Punk on the mic, and I think his run since coming back to AEW has been fantastic between like the Darby stuff, and the MJF stuff. I mean, it's been awesome. The painting his face like Sting with him and Darby and stuff. And like, there's been some awesome stuff that CM Punk since returning to AEW or to wrestling with AEW, I should say. But sometimes they can get a little too cute with it. You know what I mean? Like on the microphone, sometimes it's a little too tongue in cheek, a little too cutesy. That was a great comeback last night when Mox said he's the heart and soul and Punk said, I'm the dollars and cents. And Mox just didn't have a response.
I thought Punk kind of cooked him on the mic. I love dickish CM Punk. I've been calling for that for a while because I got tired of the happy-go-lucky, yeah, everything is great routine. We saw it a little bit against Eddie Kingston. We saw it against Hangman Page as well, because these are guys that they're cheered, right? Like, everyone loves Eddie Kingston. Everyone loves Hangman Page. Everyone loves Jon Moxley. So we've seen it throughout, and I think that's really his best work is when he's a dick. That was his heel run in ROH and WWE and everything. Like, when there's some truth to what he's saying in there, because he says it with such conviction. I mean, he even last night, he's like, tell me I'm lying. Like, tell me I'm lying when I'm saying these things. There's a lot of conviction when he speaks. And when he can be a dick and he's not just going out there, we got a great show tonight, I'm going to wrestle this person, this is our main event, like an SNL host out there, like CM Punk's doing his best work. So I thought it was great on the mic last night. I'm really looking forward to the match next week. My initial thought was because of the Hangman stuff, and I don't know how much is he went off script, went into a business for himself, how much is, hey, we're setting something up, because it's logical that Hangman gets his rematch. There is the rematch clause. AEW has talked about that. You can invoke it whenever you want, and Chris Jericho took 2 years to invoke his against Jon Moxley. So, like, you can do that. There is that rematch clause in AEW. I guess Kenny is still owed his rematch as well. But there is that clause. And Hangman doesn't really have anything on the docket for All Out unless he gets inserted into the Trios tournament and he's part of Dark Order and that. And then you set up Dark Order and the Elite. Otherwise, there's no, like, real direction for Hangman as far as, like, a big All Out match. So putting him in a world title situation makes sense. Where does that leave the loser of CM Punk, Jon Moxley? I don't know. Unless you do some type of, like, triple threat gimmick. Yeah, people have mentioned MJF. I don't know if MJF is going to be involved. They're very quiet on that, which is good. They should be. People have said it's faded to the background, and it kind of has, and that's not really their fault because Vince McMahon decided to be Vince McMahon and take the headlines from everybody. But, you know, rebooting the MJF stuff, MJF, CM Punk, Chicago, headlining All Out, that's a big match. I feel like they got to have something up their sleeve because Moxley and Punk really did feel like the biggest match in AEW with the way they've built it, with the star power of both men. So you go, you headline this pay-per-view with this. To do this on free TV, you've either got to have a rematch set, and they can do that. They did that with Kenny and Christian, right? They did it on the first Rampage. Christian won, then they came back at All Out and headlined. So they could easily do that, but I feel like you got to have something if you're going to do this match on free TV, because you got to have a pay-per-view main event. And unless you're going to run it back, which is possible, you got to have something that's equal or better to do in the main event. And no offense to Hangman, I don't know if Punk Hangman 2 is equal or better. I don't think Moxley and Hangman is equal or better. MJF could get there. MJF could be there. Punk and MJF 3. Like, that could be there. Otherwise, I'm not sure. I'm very interested to see how next week goes.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they do something. This is assuming that MJF is coming back soon, or at least that they have something worked out, because maybe they do something where, like, Punk and Mox are, like, you know, 20-something minutes into their match on Wednesday, and then MJF comes out and just beats the shit out of both of them and leaves. And everyone's like, what was that? And, like, he just disappears again for, like, a few more weeks. And it's just like, wait, like, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't think that it would be smart, personally, to have MJF, like, win the title at All Out, like, right now. Only because I do think MJF should be the next AEW World Champion. Like, I want to make that clear. I think MJF should beat CM Punk for the world title. But right now, the timing isn't right, I don't think, because I feel like we still do need to get, like, an actual CM Punk title run for at least, like, 6 months or something. And if they can see, here's the other side of the MJF thing. If he comes back and he's a massive babyface, even if he's not trying to be, like, the fans are going to cheer him the first time they see him again, and it's going to be up to AEW and MJF what they want to do with that. Like, do they want to ride with that and see if they can actually keep him over as, like, a really hot baby face for a second? Or do you just become the biggest heel possible right off the bat? There's a lot of ways it can go with it, but I think it would be really interesting if between now and, like, 6 months from now, if they could get CM Punk to the point where he is the biggest heel in AEW, and he's just, because we know AEW will go there. I mean, Christian's out there talking about, you know, Jungle Boy's dad being dead and all this. I mean, like, they're willing to, like, so if CM Punk can go out there with free reign and, like, and get himself hated as a heel, because we know it's possible. We've seen him do it multiple times in his career. He can get those fans to really turn on him. If they can get him to a point of, like, the fans just despising CM Punk in the next, like, half a year, and the only way the fans can get that title off CM Punk is we have to get behind MJF. It's like, shit, we hate MJF too. Like, this guy's the biggest asshole in this company, but we'd rather him have the title than CM Punk. So, like, we have to get behind MJF, even just for one match, to get that title off CM Punk. And then MJF could do whatever he wants. I don't know. I mean, I know that's there's just a lot of ways I can go with this whole thing, but I do think ultimately MJF should be the AEW world champion. But I also think it shouldn't happen like 3 weeks from now, because we do still need an actual CM Punk title run. I feel like
I'm with you, because we didn't get a CM Punk title run because of the injury and the MJF stuff. The chat mentions like, okay, why does MJF get a title shot when he comes back? Like, I'm in agreement with you. If they're going to tell me records and rankings matter and everything, the last time I saw this guy in a ring, he got beat in five minutes by Wardlow and stretchered out. So he'd have to pick up a lot of wins in a short amount of time. You can do a battle royal. They love that stuff. You can do whatever, some type of gauntlet to contendership, ladder match to contendership. They could easily do it to where he gets it. They could even, look, it's pro wrestling, right? I could easily just say, hey, this is the guy CM Punk wants to face. Like, that, this happens in the UFC as well. Like, when you're the champion, you can kind of call your shot on there. If it's a big money match, does it, the rankings be damned? You know, Chuck Liddell, great example of this. He's like, he wins the title. He's like, hey, I'm going to fight Jeremy Horn because he beat me a while ago. It's like, okay, this isn't, that wasn't even a big money match. He's just like, I would just want this win back. CM Punk just be like, well, fuck this guy. He left. Like, I just want to beat his ass. And for all the shit he talked as well, like, you know, previously before leaving. So it's wrestling. You could do it, but I do agree with you. He can't just walk in there and be like, yeah, I'm just getting this title shot when you're going to tell me rankings and wins and losses and stuff matter when he's like 1-4 this year. I guess the one win was CM Punk. It's a rubber match, though.
So. Yeah. Technically, if you ask CM Punk, he's up 2-1 because he claims he beat CM Punk twice that first time. But yeah, no, I'm with you though. Like, they would have to figure a way that it makes sense that also doesn't ignore what Wardlow did to him and where Wardlow's at now as a TNT champion and stuff, like
doing trios matches.
Yeah. When also, I thought it was interesting last night that Wardlow and FTR referred to themselves as the Pinnacle. Like, it leads me to believe that like MJF's got to be right around the corner if they're like going to be talking about that group. And like, obviously MJF was the leader of that group. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of ways I can go with it. As King of Hugo Mundo says, he has the ring, which, I mean, that doesn't really mean like a title shot necessarily, but like he has a very impressive win-loss record in AEW. He's had that diamond ring every year that the company's been around. All it would really take would be him coming back and beating like a Hangman Page or a John Moxley or something in like a big match. And he would immediately jump to the top of the rankings. And the Wardlow thing is going to be like a monkey on his back for a long time. I feel like it's going to be one of these things that's like Wardlow's going to be in the back of his head. Like, eventually we will get a rematch between Wardlow and MJF. You know, but at that point they're hoping Wardlow is going to be like one of the top guys and MJF is already ready to be one of the top guys. And I also think the main reason why we saw Wardlow was so dominant over MJF, I think Wardlow was going to win either way because of the story. But, I mean, at that point, it looked like MJF was just going to bail from the company. So they were probably thinking, like, you know what, whether or not we can get this completely worked out or not, we need Wardlow to look great, and we don't know what the future for MJF is. So they beat the hell out of him. They had him leave on a stretcher. And then, like, then that Wednesday, he comes out and cuts that promo. But then, once again, why things get so interesting here is because the last thing we saw of MJF was him getting massively cheered by the fans because of that promo. So, like, I think that when he comes back, fans are going to cheer him again. So I'm really interested to see what the reaction is and where they go with it. But I'm really hoping things have been worked out between MJF and AEW, because I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times. And then here's another thing. He's not going to just sit out until 2024, like his contract for another like 2 years. So, I think MJF is going to be a massive, massive asset to the wrestling business. Whether 2 years from now he's with AEW or with WWE, I think regardless, he's going to be the top star in wrestling over the next few years. Like once he kind of hits that point. So anyways, I'm looking forward to everything they're doing in AEW. And I'm just overall, I know we're going to talk about Kenny right now, but like, I thought last night's show was fantastic. That was one of the best episodes of the Dynamite I think they've ever done.
I completely agree. And let's talk about Kenny. Kenny Omega was back. Kind of knew it was coming. They told you without telling you that it was coming. He came back. He's wearing this compression shirt. He's got a brace on his arm and everything. People are wondering how banged up he actually is, or if he's working here. All I'm going to say about that is, one, Kenny Omega is a storyteller. He's one of the best when it comes to that stuff. And two, I think if this man was actually banged up, he ain't taking that doomsday dive over the railing and shit, because that looked like it was going to murder him. And if he was actually like really hurt in this aspect, he ain't taking that stuff. He's like, no, I'll work a little bit safer than that. So I think the way Omega was working, and he did it brilliantly, it is a work, because he just knows how to tell stories. And so many times everyone's like, oh, I'm coming back, I'm going to be better than ever, I'm going to be stronger than ever. Like, everything that Omega went through, people thought he was going to be back in February. He was shooting for February initially. We're in August. Like, it's months later. He was out for a very long time. And he said it. He set this up in interviews. And again, there might be some truth to it as well. But he set it up in interviews like, I'm rehabbing. If I have one more setback, that could be the end of my career and everything. He is going to work himself back into shape. And he did that masterfully last night in the ring. The exhaustion, it's been a while since he wrestled, you know, favoring the knee, not being able to do certain things. Like, it would. Kenny Omega, he's brilliant. He is brilliant in the ring. I think he worked a lot of people with the way he was working last night. And it's possible he is still super banged up and he just doesn't have it right now. And he's still really great. And maybe I got worked and the man is just super banged up. But I'm willing to bet he might not be 100%, but he's clearly good enough to wrestle. And he's working with the way he's working.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, yeah, when he went for like the you cannot escape and like couldn't do the flip. And it was like, part of me was like, was that a botch? And then the other part was like, man, if it was, you really played it off great. Cause like he was right there in front of the Young Bucks and they're like all looking at each other like, yeah, it was going to be a second before you're like completely back to form, you know? Like,
yeah.
I love that spot you were just talking about with Dragon Lee doing the front flip, tope through the ropes, into the crowd. Brutal. And man, the front row is lucky they didn't get taken out. Like, cause they were, you know, I know they moved the railing closer so that it wouldn't be as dangerous, but like, the thing they still kind of landed it on some of the people in the front row. Dragon Lee really, that match was a lot of fun. The ending was strange too. At the end of the show, Andrade turns on Dragon Lee and his mask flies off. And I was like, wait, what just happened? Like,
oh, I'm convinced Roosh was like, hey, this is what we're fucking doing at the end. I'm convinced of it. They can say that that wasn't the plan, but I'm convinced that Roosh was just, this is what we're doing at the end of this thing. Went into business for himself. What a worker.
Yeah. Roosh is. What a worker.
This Kenny Omega asshole ain't taking my main event moment. Yeah. Make sure everybody's talking about me after this shit.
Yeah. Oh man, that was so funny. It was so random, but I thought I thought the match was a lot of fun, and Kenny being the partner for the Young Bucks. I mean, it all just makes perfect sense for so many reasons, not just storyline wise, but like, which obviously it does, but even like what you're saying, even if Kenny is banged up still, like this is the best possible scenario for him. Have matches where two other guys can also get physical and take a lot of the bumps and stuff. Like, so you don't have to be out there having 45 minute long matches with like epic 6-star matches with everybody all the time. Like to keep yourself in that spot. Like you can, like, cause the trios titles, these titles are going to main event shows and stuff too. This isn't going to be something where like it's like the, I don't know, like the WWE women's tag titles or something that like just have no value whatsoever. Like this is going to be something where like, I think the trios titles are going to mean a lot, especially if a team like the Young Bucks and Kenny are the champions, which I expect them to win the tournament. But even if they don't, there's a whole stacked roster of trios that they have. So I think this division is going to be a lot of fun. And this was like a great way of kicking all that off. So I think it was great to see Kenny again. He got a huge reaction. He looks great in the ring for like what I think he's attempting to do. I do think he's trying to work us into believing he still isn't as ready as he actually is. But it's a great out too, because if he is still a little banged up and he is actually out there messing up a little bit here and there, getting back into it, you can play that off if you're him, because like it makes sense that he'd have ring rust. So yeah, this was great stuff. And then I think on the other side, you know, Hangman being aligned with the Dark Order on the other side of the bracket, you know, makes things interesting too. And I liked what we saw last night a lot, and I'm loving the trio stuff so far in the company.
The pop this man is going to get when he takes that brace off and takes the shirt off and just sees his best bout machine, Kenny Omega again, and he's doing the point, the gun pointing and everything. Just going to get a massive, massive pop when he returns to just 100% Kenny Omega form. Right now, he has to wear the compression shirt. He has to wear it, everybody, just like Roman Reigns had to wear the vest. But when he takes that shirt off and everything, people are like, oh, fuck, Kenny Omega, he's back, like Okada with the short shorts. It's going to be a huge pop. Like Kenny Omega, he's one of the best when it comes to just telling these kind of stories, and he puts a lot of thought into it, and he cares a lot with this stuff. And yeah, I think he's still a little bit banged up. He might not be 100%. I don't think he is as bad as he kind of tried to show last night. And even if he was, he's still better than damn near half the wrestlers in the world, more than that, because of even at his current state. Like he's that good. The you can't escape when he couldn't get over on the flip. That was when I was like that too. I was like, oh man, he's just not all there right now. He just doesn't have it. And then as the match went on and he started doing more stuff, I was like, oh, okay. That seemed like that might have been a little bit planned. And like you said, if it's not planned, like, and if he does, maybe he is just a little bit of ring rust, some exhaustion and everything. Great Ric Flair tribute by Kenny Omega at the end of the match, just dead to rights. Couldn't stand, couldn't do anything. If there are some
Flair tribute.
Yeah, that's what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
He just passed out. He was just like, he passed out twice due to dehydration. It took him a while. If he does like botch some stuff and whatnot, they can just play it off as like, oh, Kenny just doesn't, not quite fully back to 100% yet. We'll know he's back to 100% when that compression shirt and that brace comes off, and he's killing. He killed, I think it was Dragon Lee with that V trigger last night. That move still rules so much.
Yeah. That was great stuff. And you know, this is something that I, like you, I think it's going to be used as a story where like eventually he'll take the shirt off and the compression shirt and the brace and all this stuff. This is different than like, you know, as much as I love Sting, there have been parts of his career where he's had to wear a t-shirt while he wrestles. And that's kind of been a thing where I'm always like, if he's wearing the t-shirt, he may not be in total Sting shape. But like when he pops that t-shirt off, like that's like, we're getting the real Sting. Ric Flair, when he wrestled like the last match on Nitro, I remember, I'll always remember him wearing a t-shirt while he wrestled that match. And just being like, man, he's not even good enough shape to not wear a t-shirt. Man, that's kind of sad. This is different with Kenny Omega. This makes complete sense that a guy coming off of serious injuries like this would have to take extra precautions to protect himself. And eventually it'll be like a Forrest Gump type situation where he like breaks out of that brace and everyone goes crazy. I'm all for it. I'm all for what they're doing right now with Kenny. It's pretty clear we're going to get Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay one-on-one at some point in the near future. There's no way Kenny's going into that not ready. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah. So this is what I was thinking about, because we have the Ospreay Trios match next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Does Kenny want to do like anything with Ospreay while he's doing this storyline where he's not 100%? Like, does that help him or does that hurt him of, hey, you beat me, or I beat you with when I wasn't 100%. Like, I look this good, I look this bad, I was banged up. Imagine what I can do when I'm healthy. Or are they just best off like staying away from each other some more until they can deliver that match when both men are 100% ready to go? And I'm kind of leaning towards the latter of like, just don't even like tease it when Omega has like an excuse or Ospreay can say he has an excuse. Like, don't even like go there with it, and instead just kind of still keep them separate. Cause I'm still convinced that Aussie Open is taking the fall next week and that Death Triangle is winning.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I prefer if they didn't interact before a big one-on-one match. The only way I would have the scenario of Kenny wrestling, you know, less than 100% would be if he lost to Ospreay, but like months later he got that win back when he was healthy, and like that was part of the story. But like personally, I don't want to see Aussie Open and Ospreay against the Undisputed Elite in the trios. Or sorry, the Elite in the trios, because I don't want to see anything between Ospreay and Omega until they wrestle one-on-one. The only thing that I'd be okay with is if there was a tease where like they're both in the ring together in the trios match, but then like they both get hit or like tag out, or maybe you can tease it a little bit, but like that's the other thing. I don't think Kenny Omega is going into a match with Will Ospreay at less than 100%, or at least, you know what I mean. He's not going into it like,
yeah,
he's going into it prepared, because whether you're on Kenny's side or Ospreay's side, or you're a fan of both or whatever, like Kenny said a lot of stuff recently about Will Ospreay that like he's going to have to back up. And Kenny, in my opinion, is probably the best in-ring wrestler probably in the world when he's healthy. Ospreay, I think, has legitimate claim to that too, though. Like there's a lot of people out there that would say Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world right now from bell to bell. And I understand that as well. But with the things that Kenny has said, especially in that interview with Sean here at Fightful, like Kenny is writing checks that I know his ass can cash because he's Kenny Omega and he's the man. But like, he would look real foolish if he went out there and Will Ospreay like ran circles around him. And I just don't think that that's going to be happening. So like, so that's kind of my whole thing, I think. And here's the thing, someone just said Danielson's better than Kenny. Look, I'm not going to disagree with that. Personally speaking, I probably prefer Danielson over both of them personally, but like, I understand the argument for Kenny Omega, for Will Ospreay, for Danielson, like depending on what you like in wrestling, even Roman Reigns, depending on what you like in wrestling. Like, but yeah, that's my whole point with that, is I don't think Kenny Omega is going to say all the stuff he said. And same with Ospreay, by the way, this isn't a one-way road. Like Ospreay has said plenty about Kenny as well. So like for this match, when it happens, both guys know that it's gotta be, the expectations are going to be incredibly high, and I think they're going to go out there and like, you know, totally deliver. So
imagine thinking Bryan Danielson ain't the fucking goat.
You want to be a professional wrestler, or do you want to be a WWE superstar? You know, WWE superstar sounds a whole lot better to me than being a professional wrestler.
Jensen, they are professional wrestlers in a wrestling ring who wrestled on Monday. Drew McIntyre was very clear about that in his promo with Kevin Owens. I thought both of these promos were great. You can tell there is a lot of leniency, or not even leniency. There's freedom now with the script and what they can say and can't say. Owens being back to the prize fighter mentality has been great these last couple of weeks. Drew McIntyre feels way more authentic than he ever did when he was doing the cool cats and kittens and thumbs up, thumbs down, and get the during the Thunderdome. And I realized those were weird circumstances, but still he feels way, way more authentic now than he ever did over the past few years. I thought they had a great match. Didn't mind the DQ finish. I think you can do a DQ finish when you need to protect people, when it makes sense, and when it's not in the main event after we've spent all show and then building towards this. And then you give me 20 minutes and then it's a DQ finish. And they did some good stuff in the aftermath as well. I thought this was great. I loved it. I love the freedom that they have on these promos. I thought Bayley's been very good on the mic since she's returned. Wrestling in WWE, Steven Jensen.
I love it. Yeah. And I thought the promo was great. I love McIntyre basically saying like, you know, you think I was the chosen one, like, yeah, I kind of was for a second, and then I got fired. And then, like, I had to work my ass off to get back in here. And then, like, not even just to get back into the company, to get back into the company and then actually kind of fulfill that prophecy and like become a main event level guy and become the world champion and stuff. And I love the whole prize fighter thing for Owens too. Like that's Owens at his best is a guy who just fights Owens fight. I mean, it's like, it's fight steam fight, whatever, like kill steam, kill whatever, however far back you want to go. That's Kevin Owens at his best. I mean, the more that they can keep talking about how they're wrestlers and they want to wrestle on a wrestling show, I think the more of that, the better. I'm sure Cody was just licking his chops sitting at home watching that. Cause like he's where he said before he even came back to the company, or I guess right after he came back to the company, he's like, yeah, okay. If they're going to fine me for saying the word belt, like fuck it. Like I'm going to say the word belt. Like if I want to call myself a wrestler and they're going to fine me for it, like fuck it. I'm a wrestler. Like they're going to fire him over that kind of stuff. They might take a little bit of money from him. Now it seems like that's just going to be a non-issue. Like they're going to be able to talk naturally. I mean, these are very good signs for the WWE in their future. I really, really like wrestlers that are wrestling. It sounds very basic. It sounds very obvious and simple, but when we've lived in this world for this long of the WWE avoiding very real and obvious things, and you know, you can't say certain things, even though it's like, why wouldn't you be able to say this? This is silly. I like that they're kind of revamping how that works. This was a good sign. And like McIntyre is the kind of guy that I totally understand why he gets so consistently pushed in the WWE system. Like I think he does really well for them and he looks great and he's great in the ring. And I want to see more from Kevin Owens. I think he mentioned during the promo, he hasn't held a WWE title, like any title in the WWE for like 5 years or something. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe it is. Because I feel like he had to have been like US champion or something in that time, but maybe he wasn't. Do more with Kevin Owens. Like, go ahead.
I don't recall him ever holding like a title. Like the last time he held the US title was 2017. So there, and
wow,
that was a 2 day reign. So yeah, he's not been a champion. Like he just hasn't, which is insane because it's really good.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's one of my favorite. He's honestly one of my favorite pro wrestlers ever. Honestly, like over like his whole career, I've been a really big fan of his. So yeah, I want to see more of this kind of stuff. Like, and make that the important thing. Like, you can always have storylines, and you're always gonna have storylines, and it's always gonna be sport entertainment to some degree, of course. But like, at the end of the day, it's wrestling, and like, you're fighting for championships, and you know, at some point that needs to be addressed and like actually a part of the show. If you're the WWE, like it's silly to be tiptoeing around the idea that these are people that are, you can call them sports entertainers, professional wrestlers, whatever you want to, but most of the people in the WWE system are people who grew up professional wrestling fans, grew up WWE fans, and wanted to work for the WWE their whole life. Then when they got there, they couldn't call themselves wrestlers. They couldn't say they wanted to go for the belt. They couldn't do this or that. And now they're going to have opportunities to maybe kind of live out their dreams that they always wanted. Like, this is the opportunity to really be what they wanted to in the WWE, it feels like. So I think that a promo like what we saw between McIntyre and Owens on Raw, I think that's a really good sign for the future of the company.
It's very basic stuff of, oh, you can just now use these words again,
right?
Like these words that you couldn't use. And even in the ring, it's like, oh, you can now do this stuff in the ring. You could wrestle a little bit of a different style in the ring. Very basic stuff, but when we've been conditioned for so long of like, hey, this is just kind of how it is in WWE, it makes a big difference. And I think the biggest difference it makes, like in the bigger picture of everything, is just freedom and collaboration with the wrestlers. Because now it doesn't feel like whatever Vince says is how it's going to be. Like, this is what we're doing, and you just really have no say. Follow your script, follow your format, follow your match layout. Like, this is how it's going to be. Now it feels like, hey, we can go out there and play around with stuff. And with that, when wrestlers get that kind of freedom, these are all creative people. I've talked about it many times. Like, people in wrestling are some of the most creative people in the world. Like, whether it's inside wrestling, outside wrestling, because some of these people do other things that are super creative as well. Dexter Lumis, a fucking artist, for Christ's sakes. Like, these are all very creative people. And now they have a bigger canvas to create on. And I think that is just great news for wrestling as a whole. And certainly the people in WWE who are super creative and who can now go out there and instead of being confined into this box. And I know a lot of the wrestlers, I listen to a lot of interviews and a lot of the WWE people are like, oh, it's good to have these restrictions because it makes me think differently and it makes me work harder. And it makes me like, okay, well, how can I do this within this confined little box? How about you just expand the box and you can still work really hard, and but you can have more ideas to play around with. How about we do that? Instead of confining the box to that big, I want to expand it, and you still have limitations you have to work around because there are sponsors and there are contracts and there are things like that, but at least now you have more freedom to move with everything. So I think it's great. I think it's a great thing for everybody in WWE, and I look forward to more of that. Jensen, your WWE spotlight initially, this is what you messaged me. Quincy Elliott not on NXT Level Up this past week, so fuck Triple H. Yeah, were your exact words.
I DM'd you that. I did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you DM'd me that. And then Quincy Elliott video package on NXT. He's coming to the main NXT, Steven Jensen, and you were singing Triple H's praises after that one. Quincy Elliott, already a spotlight legend, reacted to the love we gave him last week on Twitter. He's coming to main NXT. This isn't actually your spotlight, but Quincy Elliott, we're going to get him on this show at some point.
We have to.
I don't know how WWE feels about us, but we're going to work to get him on this show. All right, everybody, your actual spotlight. Well, go ahead. Talk about Quincy Elliott.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Quincy Elliott. Obviously, big fan of what they're doing right now. The Super Diva. I liked the promo he did. And it was funny because it was like, all right, no one's talking about this guy. So I'm going to bring him up on the spotlight. Even you were like, who the fuck is Quincy Elliott? Who are we talking about on Wednesday? And I was like, no, trust me. Like this guy is tight. Like I like what I'm seeing. It's a different vibe and different look, but like really impressive in the ring. And anyway, I really like what I've seen of Quincy Elliott, and no coincidence, we talked about him in the spotlight, and all of a sudden he gets this promotion to NXT.
They watch the show.
Just saying.
Watch the show. So Bruce has got plenty of eyes on this show. He's making sure everybody's tuned in to the spotlight back there in WWE.
For sure. So yeah, keep pushing Quincy. I think Quincy can have a very, very bright future in the WWE. I legitimately do. They need people like him that are just different, like different vibe, different look. And, you know, there are not a whole lot of like bigger wrestlers right now in the WWE on like that main roster, even where like, you know, it's good to have that dude who like Quincy, who can do like a splash and like, it's a match ender and it's believable, just like a splash, you know, like, but also can do like a sweet, like running European uppercut at the same time. Like I like what I'm seeing. And I think it's really cool that Quincy's going to be debuting on NXT soon. And a lot of people are still unexposed to him because most people don't watch NXT Level Up. So a lot of people are going to be like, who is this and what are they about? And I think they're going to be hopefully they're pleasantly surprised. You know, I can draw comparisons between him and some people in like wrestling's past and NXT's past and stuff in certain ways. But I think Quincy is a real original. I think that what we're going to get out of the presentation of Quincy Elliott is going to be something different. And I think it's going to be really, really entertaining.
Your actual spotlight this week is Tyler Bate showing up on NXT television with the UK title that he hasn't technically won.
Oh, hold You're on a second. This. Is this? No. I just happened to read this chat. I'm not logged in. We don't need to pull it up. It says Matt Riddle was spotted after a show by a live streamer that got Matt to shout at IP2 after Riddle got. I know what IP2 is. Riddle probably just had no idea what that was. Is it like, fuck Bobo? Is that IP2 like Ice Poseidon's like old subreddit? If that's what we're talking about, that's a whole other thing. I had no idea about that, but I would imagine he just didn't know. But anyway.
I don't even know if that's true.
Huh?
Jensen, what are we doing here?
Oh, no, I'm just saying we don't. I'm just saying I haven't seen anybody reference IP2 ever in a chat that I've ever done ever. I just know what it is because I know who that streamer is. But anyway, sorry, that's completely off topic. I never see that in any of the chats we do. Anyways, as far as Tyler Bate goes, okay. I cover NXT UK for the Weekender, over on Fightful Select. All right. All right. They've been doing so a little while back, for people who might not know, Ilya Dragunov, he had to vacate the title in real time, you know, like a month or so ago. So we've known this tournament was going to be happening, and they just caught up to it on the TV show. So like the tournament started, and it looks like, you know, based on the brackets, it's going to be Tyler Bate versus Trent Seven most likely for that title. I haven't looked into the spoilers yet for this, but I'm assuming that's where it was heading based on the story. So obviously Tyler Bate has won this thing, but this is the reason I wanted to bring this up on the show, because NXT happens this past Tuesday. Bron Breakker defended the title over Jordan Devlin, right? Or I guess he's JD McDonough, I think is his name now. So Bron Breakker's there at the end of the show. Tyler Bate comes out with the NXT UK title. Nobody knows he's won this tournament yet. So I just thought it was really strange. I get it. Not a lot of people watch NXT UK. I understand that. But isn't that weird to you that like they would just completely spoil an entire tournament that's like this entire show is built around over the next like month?
It's weird because of that. Yes. It's not weird because, as you said, I don't think a lot of people watch NXT UK. Blair Davenport was part of NXT this past week as well. So it seems like she's going to be getting moved over. I kind of think NXT UK is just a washed brand at this point. You know, they canceled their upcoming tapings. According to a lot of reports, it just seems like a thing of, we know, but we don't know. Like, don't, everything's fine, but it's really not fine based on all the signs. I think it's just a brand that they're going to do away with. I know Triple H's goal of global localization, what was a thing in years past, and they want to do NXT UK and NXT Japan and NXT Mexico. Now, I don't think, especially now that he's, running main roster stuff, like, I don't think those are in the works anymore. It's just like, all right, well, let's just focus on what we have going on here, and then we can just maybe work with indie companies in a different way. And that's how we'll kind of just pluck our talent instead of trying to run our own shows in all these areas. So I think that's probably going to be their plan moving forward. Cause I think they're still working with Progress in some capacity. So they can utilize them as basically their NXT UK right now. I think that's the way it's going to go. So was it weird? Yes. Do I think it's that big of a deal? No, not really. Because I don't think NXT UK is going to be around for too much longer.
Which is very, you know, I think that's all very, very likely as well. I agree with that too, you know. And I know like their taping schedule, like you said, they've had some cancellations. And even the last set of tapings they did, they brought a lot of like the US, like NXT talent over to the UK for those. So like Jensen and Briggs are, I think they're still the NXT UK tag champions as of right now. And stuff like that. Like Ivy Nile was getting some looks on that show. And, so I'm with you. Like most likely we're probably just kind of seeing the end of NXT UK. Maybe they unify Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker's titles. Maybe that's where like they're heading with that, and the brand kind of like dissolves or becomes like absorbed into the company. Anyway, but I wanted to bring this up on the show today because once again, I cover NXT UK. I talk about it every single weekend, and I was actually like really looking forward to like, Because my prediction was that Tyler Bate would win this tournament, but there was also like some doubt where I was like, you know what? There might be a good story in Trent Seven winning this thing, and then like Tyler Bate eventually beating him for the title a few months from now. So I was actually like really invested in the tournament, if I'm being honest. So like now it's just been totally spoiled for me, and I was like, damn, that was just for people who actually were. It's kind of a middle finger to people that are actually like loyal to watching NXT UK. There's
it's
not
just
a lot.
You. It's right, just you say, who is loyal to watching NXT UK.
There's not a lot of us out there. That's fair. But like for the people who have been loyal and watch the show every week, even when people say it's a waste of time, it's like, well, kind of is. Cause like now I know the result of the next like month of TV. So
you are the loyal NXT UK viewer, especially here in America. Nobody else in America watches this show. Only Steven Jensen. Keep NXT UK alive for Steven Jensen. They'll have Progress shows streaming soon enough on WWE Network, Peacock. Peacock sucks, by the way. I tried using it last night to watch some old WWE. Just horrible to go through. Let's move on. Let's talk about some good wrestling, Steven Jensen.
Our product is what it is. We're going straight up the middle.
Tyrus is main eventing NWA 74.
Talk about some good wrestling. Yeah. Okay, so real quick. So you said Tyrus is main eventing NWA 74, which is true. He's wrestling Trevor Murdoch for the World's Heavyweight Championship.
I thought this show was this weekend, by the way. I did not realize we are still a week away from this show. So maybe it changes, but I would like to talk about this before it does change, because Billy Corgan did an interview with Sean Ross Sapp and is like, can you separate the performer from the person? And it's like, yeah, in some instances, but when both of them absolutely suck, it's kind of difficult to separate them, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I mean, it's different if you're like a super high level. I mean, we've even seen it. I'm not going to name names, but like there have been people that have had like questionable views on certain stuff or even controversial or whatever. Like, I'm not here to like make political statements or anything like that, or like why people may or may not like Tyrus outside of wrestling and all that stuff, but all literally all of that aside, if you're looking at it strictly as him as just an in-ring performer, he's probably the worst performer in the NWA. And
NWA is the fucking worst performer in wrestling.
I get it, but I'm just saying, like, he's the TV champion, he's had interest in the tag titles, he's going for the world title, and he's like immobile. Like, it's very strange. And I get it. Like, Corgan, we've talked about it before. He wants that title on Fox News and all this stuff. I get it. There's exposure there. But, I don't
get it.
One, I don't think that it translates into viewership. Like, because clearly people aren't watching the show. So, like, it isn't like, what are you even getting out of the promotion, really? I mean, some people who are into, you know, Republican politics or whatever, who follow Fox, so they know who Tyrus is, but are any of them even, like, paying for an NWA pay-per-view? Probably not. Absolutely, you know, not. So
absolutely not.
Now I did ask you to watch the finish of Trevor Murdoch versus the Pope from this past Wednesday, because that was almost my spotlight this week, was this finish, and I'm glad we have a reason to talk about it.
This whole show isn't very good. It is a thing. Like, I used to watch it and review it in a jokey manner as like a bit. And then the show just got so bad. It's like, I'm not putting myself through this hour of television every single week just for a bit that's just making me mad. So I'm not doing that anymore. So I stopped doing that. But I did I did watch this. And the finish was, Pope got ran into the ring post, and then Murdoch couldn't pile drive him or didn't want to pile drive him. And then Murdoch just stood over him as the ref counted to 20. I don't know.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If Murdoch is a babyface or a heel right now, because that was a dickish move and it seems very heelish, but he's about to defend the title against Tyrus, who's definitely a heel. You ain't making Tyrus your top babyface. It is just, it's absolutely awful. Like, it's just awful television. It's an awful product. Billy Corgan is like, we don't have the talent for Empower. There's not enough free agent talent out there. And like, maybe that's true, but instead you're running two nights of a pay-per-view event, and night two, which is, you know, your cap night, is headlined by Tyrus against Trevor Murdoch. So don't tell me there's not enough female talent out there to run Empower, when instead you're going to run two nights of shit and you're headlining with Murdoch. And then you've got all these other matches where it's guys who a lot of people haven't heard of. You're having to pull Bully Ray in for some type of match. You know, Tom Lattimore is getting singles match. Like, don't tell me there's not enough female free agent talent to not do empower. And then you're giving me two nights of this bullshit. Like, this should only be a one night show, and you don't have to do empower. That's fine. I understand it did not do well on Fight TV. Maybe it was a money loser for them. I get that. I understand the reasons for not doing it. Don't give me the reason being not enough talent when you're trying to put on two nights with not enough talent. Steven Jensen, you could walk into the NWA right now and you would be a better wrestler than Tyrus. You would be a better choice to hold that title than Tyrus. I don't know if you've taken a bump in your career. I don't know if you've ever run the ropes, but you could probably run across the ropes without collapsing and dying. And that's what I'm afraid will happen to Tyrus at NWA 74. It's bad. He's horrible. He's awful. It's an awful product.
I know at the very least I can throw a heart punch. I know at the very least I can do that. No, I mean, here's the thing with like the whole NWA power thing. I agree with you 100% with what you're saying. There's absolutely enough female talent out there to do a show. I just wish she'd be honest about the reason they're not doing the show. It isn't because there's a lack of talent. It's because nobody bought the show.
Yeah.
And that's also on wrestling fans. I'm going to be honest. A lot of the wrestling fans out there need to put their money where their mouth is. It isn't just for like all women's pay-per-views because they haven't been drawing. It's just the truth. But it isn't just that. It's the action figures and a lot of stuff that goes along with it. Like, people beg for certain women to get certain action figures. And I see them warming the pegs at Walmart and Target for months. Like, just no one buys them. And I'm just like, if you want to support this and you keep saying you're going to support it, you have to actually put your money where your mouth is. Like, if you are begging for an all women's pay-per-view, you got to actually buy it when it comes on. And I think that that's something that wrestling fans need to understand. Like, you can beg and complain and want things all you want, but when you finally get them, you got to put your money where your mouth is and show the companies that you're going to actually support this stuff once you get your way. And that's my point with like the Empower show. I think 100% just didn't. You said it was probably a money loser. It was absolutely a money loser. I don't know that for a 100% fact. I don't have the numbers, but I cannot imagine that made any money. There's plenty of talent out there. They can absolutely put on an all women show, but the fans need to buy it. Now,
is anybody going to buy NWA 74 night one?
I agree. It's a problem with the whole company. I'm not saying this is
this show is $25. Who is spending $25 on night one of NWA 74? Give me your $25 instead if you want to buy this show. I'll do something for 3 hours. I'll do a 3-hour stream of me playing video games. It'll be more entertaining than this stupid fucking show.
But would you agree
that NWA 74? We got an interview with Billy Corgan.
But would you agree that, I mean, this is just a guess, but would you agree? Don't you think though that like less people would purchase Empower than would purchase NWA 74? Like, if you had to choose one of the two,
I'd purchase Empower. Like, this lineup isn't. I mean, they're headlining with Camille against I forget, which isn't good. Like, I don't know. Let me look at this lineup. Hold on,
because there's gonna be women's matches on NWA 74. That's what I think. Camille against kind of
Taya. Taya is the main event, and then the Burke Invitational is also part of it. So another women's match. The rest of this show, like Bully Ray against Mike Knox in a tables match. That's Homicide against Kerry Morton. I like Homicide. Kerry Morton's fine.
Yeah.
Matt Cardona makes his return, but you could put all of this on the second night, because if you like EC3 is wrestling, I guess in the world of Billy Corgan, all these guys are like draws and stuff. But you can put a lot of this stuff on the second night, because the second night you have things like, you have this United States tag team title tournament. They apparently have 18 teams that they've wrecked up, but they don't have enough women's talent out there. You need an MLW match. You have Mercuro against Magic Jake Dumas. I don't know who these people are. Right. Sorry to them. Sure. Like, again, a Tom Lattimore match, Colby Carino and Caprice Coleman. Like, you could combine some of this stuff. It doesn't need to be a two-night event. And again, the headlining match is Trevor Murdoch versus Tyrus.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right. When you break it down like that, you're totally right. Honestly, I didn't realize how weak the overall card was, especially with it being a two-night show. I have to keep that in mind too. They could have easily done an all-women show one night and then done like an all-men show the second night. They could have easily done that, and it would have made sense. Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's goodwill, like, at the end of the day. Like, I understand it's probably a money loser. It doesn't seem like people are buying it. I don't think anybody's buying this show anyway. but it's a, at least goodwill with wrestling fans of like, oh, cool, we're doing Empower again. Like, this is nice. This is great. I guess if it's losing too much money, you don't want to just keep throwing money into a pit because that definitely gets you in trouble. I just can't imagine anybody buying NWA 74 night one. And I don't know, just showcase women's talent. Like, you don't have to use people from AEW and stuff if that costs much money, even though apparently Tony Khan was paying them. Just showcase other women's talent. I know we got to move on. Sorry.
Well, we got a great women's talent to talk about.
Yes, for we do.
This other side. Yeah,
we do. Mia Yim against Jordynne Grace from the Impact Emergence show for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Mia Yim has been fantastic in Impact. Absolutely fantastic. This was no exception here against Jordynne Grace. I would have been fine if they switched the title to Mia here. I know, but I think she's finishing up in October. Whether or not she resigns remains to be seen. So I get it, but she has been such a standout and Impact, and good for her after the way she was used the WWE run with the nonsense with the Retribution. And Jordynne Grace continues to be excellent.
Yeah, I love this match. If you want to check out the Emergence post show, myself and Denise Salcedo did it. Jeremy here and Sean Ross Sapp had some run-ins. Thing went a little off the rails for a while, but hey, the viewership went up while we were doing that. So it is what it is. But like, I honestly, Josh Alexander versus Alex Shelley was fantastic, right? Like that main event ruled. But like me personally, this is just me personally, my favorite match of the night was Jordynne Grace versus Mia Yim, just because I thought it was like, it was a good length of time. Like, it wasn't too long, it wasn't too short. It was all action from start to finish. And here's the thing, these women lay it in. Like, yeah, when you see them hitting each other, like, it's crisp. And like, you know, and a lot of that, you know, it's just one of those things. They just move at kind of just a different level than I see a lot of other wrestlers. And I think you're totally right about Mia Yim and Impact. You know, I think she's been fantastic as well. I have a whole new respect for Mia Yim. I liked her pre-WWE, but I didn't know a ton about her. I think her name was Jade in Impact before that. Yeah. And then, but then like the WWE, that was basically just a wash. I mean, that was what it was with Retribution and or whatever. But like, this Mia Yim that I saw against Jordynne Grace, she could be the Knockouts champion. She could be the AEW World Women's Champion at some point. Hell, these two women could be the Impact World Champion, like the main title. Like, we've seen Tessa hold that title. There's no reason why Jordan or Mia couldn't, in my opinion, with the same level of talent. So I thought their match was fantastic. I'm totally fine with Jordynne retaining. You know, people who listen to my stuff know that I'm a long time massive fan of Jordynne Grace. So I'm always good with her being the champion. And I thought this was Mia Yim's best match I've seen her have. And that's not a dig. That's just literally like, this was really, really, really good stuff. I really enjoyed it. And then after the match, after Jordynne retains, Masha Slamovich comes out. And so we know it's going to be Masha Slamovich, who's undefeated in Impact, versus Jordynne Grace. And I'm a huge Masha fan because I've been watching her for years on the indies. And another thing with Masha and Jordynne that gets overlooked by some newer fans or people who may not pay attention to the indies so much is they wrestle men probably more often than they wrestle women. So it's one of those things where it's like, they're so diverse in what they can do, because you could legitimately have Masha Slamovich or Jordynne Grace wrestling for the Knockouts title. You could have them wrestle for the X Division title. You could have them wrestle for the world title. Like, they can do anything in that company against anyone of any gender. And that's a huge, huge, huge asset to have if you're someone like Jordynne Grace or someone like Masha Slamovich. So I think the sky's the limit for both of these women, including Mia Yim. All three of them, I think, are awesome. And I am really, really looking forward to Slamovich versus Jordynne Grace. I think that match is going to totally rule. It's going to put Masha on a different level in a lot of fans' eyes who aren't as familiar with her. And I think she's a real threat to Jordan's title. I don't know if she's going to defeat her for the title or not, but I like that there's the doubt there where, like, I feel like it could go either way and it's going to be a badass match.
Do you want good women's wrestling, much Impact? You know, since yeah. NWA says there's not enough talent to do there. Yes. Jordynne Grace, go out of your way to watch Jordynne Grace against Mia Yim from Impact Emergence. Like Jensen said, it was his favorite match on the show, and I don't blame him because it absolutely ruled. It's a nice 13 minutes. You know, I love my matches that are like 18 minutes or less. Love those matches. So yeah, go watch Jordynne Grace against Mia Yim. And I actually think Mia Yim might be headed back to the Fed after, you know, Triple H is back in power now and everything, and he clearly liked her. So good on her if that's the case. If she sticks around in Impact, I'd get the title on her as soon as possible because she is fantastic. Let's go to the indies, Steven Jensen.
I'm going to give a big motherfucking shout out.
We are going to give a big motherfucking shout out to Nick Gage, who is putting his career on the line against Jon Moxley after Moxley defeated Effie at Homecoming Part 1. Nick Gage came out and was like, all right, let's fucking do this again. Career versus title. We haven't seen a lot of Nick Gage in GCW, been a lot of comments about whether or not he's going to be sticking around for the long haul and everything. And you've said it on this show, and I agree with you. What we have seen of Nick Gage this year hasn't been that great. But now we'll see how he does in his return. He's getting Jon Moxley. Their first match was very good. I mean, it was good. The finish a little flat and everything. But now they've had some time and everything. We'll see. I think even Gage said, like, didn't feel great about it. They're going to do it again. Career versus title. What are you thinking here, Jensen?
So I love that Gage is back. He looks like he's in way better shape mentally and physically right now, which is great to see. He's always going to be, like, the heart of Game Changer Wrestling. Like, no matter what happens, like, when you think of GCW, the first person I think everyone's always going to think of is Nick Gage. It's great to see him back. It's great to see him in the shape that he's in. I think the rematch makes all the sense in the world that they would want to do Mox and Gage again. But this is just me personally. I don't think that Gage should win. I'm not saying he should necessarily retire either. Like, I don't know. But, like, the thing is, I think it's very likely Gage will win. He'll win the title. He'll get the big redemption story from Mox. But the problem with that is that Gage just doesn't wrestle often anymore. And I don't think he's going to wrestle a whole lot going forward. And when you're the GCW champion, it's tough when you're not at these shows. Moxley, it's a little different because of who he is and all the eyes he brings in when he's in GCW. So, like, it makes a ton of sense why he would be the GCW champion, even though he's not at every show. But, like, I've lived already through years of Nick Gage as the GCW champion. Awesome years, incredible years. And even his chase to get the title back from RSP and stuff, incredible stuff. There were stories that lasted years and years, you know, and it was incredible. But now I feel like they're in a position where whoever beats Mox for this GCW championship should be a homegrown GCW wrestler, like a Jordan Oliver. Like, it should be somebody who can really get that rub from, because, like, Gage is already the god of GCW. Like, he can't, there's no rub he can get that's going to make him any bigger than he already is. It'd be a huge feather in his cap to beat Jon Moxley for, like, his career resume. But, like, Nick Gage is already on a level that he can't get any bigger than in the company, in my opinion. So, like, I'd prefer to see Jon Moxley defeat Nick Gage, and then eventually, like I said, I mentioned Jordan Oliver a lot because I think he's been the best positioned lately to potentially be that guy. But but it was badass seeing Mox and Gage face to face again, and I'll absolutely be watching, and I'll be at GCW this Saturday. It's in Atlanta, so it's on. I'm going to try to work it out to where, because I want to watch the UFC pay-per-view also, and there's going to be some overlap there, but I'm going to get to GCW. I'm going to watch most of the show, and then I'm going to try to find a way to watch, like, the last few big UFC fights if I've still got time. But yeah, how do you feel about Mox versus Gage, career versus title?
I could see Gage winning, and then so that way his career is salvaged, and then basically just going back to Cardona, because the next night Gage comes out, ruins the Cardona wedding, cuts up Cardona and everything. So I could see them kind of trying to recapture that little bit. Cause I don't know if Gage is, like, ready to call it a career, but I do think, like, whenever he is ready to call it a career, he's just going to do one and he's going to be done. He's not going to, like, keep coming back. I could be wrong on that. He might be the Terry Funk bred and he's just like, oh, I'll just keep fucking doing return matches and everything. So I could see Gage winning and then, yeah, them going back to Cardona with that. Or he just doesn't have a long run, but you get the belt off of Moxley because his AEW commitments are there. And then you can, whoever beats Gage still looks like a pretty big deal. I agree with you, though, that I feel like it'd be better served to have a guy who maybe isn't as made as Nick Gage defeating Jon Moxley to take the title. I am in agreement with that. But I kind of think Nick Gage is going to win this match.
Yeah. I can see both scenarios. I don't think Gage is done yet. That's why I'm leaning towards I think he will win, but I just think it would be smart. Because here's the thing, like, eventually someone will get that rub by beating Nick Gage for the title, like, whether it's Jordan or someone else. Like, so, I mean, there's still going to be a big moment, but I just feel like mainstream level-wise, because of how big of a deal Moxley is in, like, the grand scheme of all of wrestling, like, just you have an opportunity to really make somebody a lot bigger. Like a lot of non-GCW fans, non-indie fans, they would hear about Jordan Oliver beat John Moxley. Like, who's Jordan Oliver? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's Nick Gage, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, Nick Gage lost the GCW title. I know about Nick Gage. I think it puts you on a different level if you beat John Moxley right now, especially just considering Moxley's status in the overall scheme of the wrestling world right now.
I do think, real quickly, because I know you have to run.
Yeah.
I do think that, like, Moxley has a little bit of a say in it, and maybe there is a thing of, like, yeah, I'm only going to lose to, like, Nick Gage. Like, this is the guy I want to put over in this case. My indie spotlight was Billy Starks against Maki Ito from JCW After Hours 2. That's up on YouTube. That's free. Everyone can go watch that. Maki Ito's back in America working some tours. Apparently she was on AEW last night, so she'll be on AEW television again soon. I think she did an Elevation match. And Billy Starks, I mean, we've talked about her plenty on this show, but she is, like, she's one of the top female performers. Could have used her for Empower. She's one of the top female performers on the independent scene right now. And I really enjoyed this match. And again, it's free on YouTube for anybody that wants to go check out that entire show, but specifically this match.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out to Billy Starks and Maki Ito. Billy, I've said for a long time, it is wild to say that because she's still only like 17, but I've been watching her wrestle since she was like 14 or 15, which is just crazy. And her dad, Robert Bellamy Mouse, the guy we've talked about here with Cole Radrick before, great dude who's, right there by her side, by Billy's side while she's doing all this. And she's recently started using a new finishing move, which has been cool. She'd been doing the Swanton for a long time, and now she's been doing the Assault Driver, which is adding kind of some levels to her game. Great. It does. It looks brutal. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of like a one-winged angel, just like with both legs instead of the one.
Yeah.
So I wish I could sit here and talk more about Billy, but I gotta bounce. There's no creator spotlight this week though, so I guess you're not gonna be on here without me afterwards. But are you gonna stick around after I'm gone?
I'm gonna wrap it up right now. Oh, okay. I'm gonna let you plug everything, and then I'm gonna plug everything.
All right, I'm gonna plug everything and bounce off because I do have to clock in for work. But Fightful Select Weekender podcast is every Sunday. I'll be at GCW this weekend in Atlanta. I should be linking up with Cassidy Haynes finally. I think he's going to be there, so that'll be fun. I'll be linking up with Jumpin' Johnny Mosley. Shout out to Mose. He's doing commentary on the GCW show. So I get to see some buddies, which is going to be cool. You can check out my show with Doug, Live Rounds. That's every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on the RVD Tito for Life YouTube channel. And hit the like button, subscribe, all that stuff here at Fightful. Everything I got going on, just check out on Twitter at @FightTalk_.
There you go. Appreciate it, Jeremy. As always, Steven Jensen, enjoy the shoot job. There's my split-screened face right there. All right, as Steven Jensen mentioned, no creator spotlight this week. We had some scheduling conflicts and whatnot. It happens, right? We'll get somebody on next week. We'll talk to somebody. We got a couple things in the works. I'm legitimately trying to get Quincy Elliott, trying to see what happens there. We'll see what happens there. So no creator spotlight. Yeah, next week we'll be back with the creator spotlight. Let's see. What can I plug here? FightfulOverbooked.com. Everyone can go over there. Part 4 of the series just dropped, a deep dive into CM Punk's match against MJF. Like, really breaking that thing down. I said it last week on this show, but you can see the brilliance of, like, CM Punk and him as a worker in the ring. And I just got a new appreciation for Punk while doing this series. So check that out. It's very niche stuff, but hopefully some people enjoy it. Tim and Joel are previewing. What are they previewing on Fightful Overbooked? It'll drop today at 2:00. They have a preview for a independent show that I know Eddie Kingston is part of, Greek Town Wrestling preview. Again, Eddie Kingston is part of that show, so they'll be previewing that. That's at 2:00 today on Fightful Overbooked. Day After Dynamite is now on the main channel. Will Washington got called up. He's no longer at Fightful 2.0. He is he's on the main channel where he deserves to be. He's great. So he'll be doing Dynamite today on youtube.com/Fightful, this channel right here. Everyone can check out Will Washington on Day After Dynamite. A bunch of stuff on Fightful Overbook. Go over there. Go to Fightful.com. Subscribe to Fightful Select. You can follow me on Twitter if you would like. I own Fightful, according to Twitter. That is it. We'll be back next Thursday. I will be around to talk about my live experience at AEW Dynamite next week. I'll give you all my thoughts on Jon Moxley and CM Punk and anything else that happens at Dynamite. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. Bye, everyone.